tell us why we're here, and then kind of backtrack a little bit to see how we line ourselves up with that, okay? So first of all, let's go to 1 Corinthians 14. In 1 Corinthians 14, when Paul is talking to the church here, you know, I'm going to start at verse 1. I'm not going to read all this. I'm just going to pick out a couple verses just for context. So he starts off by saying, follow after charity or love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. He says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men. Amen? So first of all, I'm here to speak to you. Amen? So if I can, you know, if I come here and I act like everything about me being here is for God, then I can lose sight of you. Because see, he's saying these gifts are to be used so that they can be profitable unto y'all, right? He says, so if you're speaking in an unknown tongue, who's that benefiting, right? So he says, for he that prophesies in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him. He says, however, be it in the spirit, he prayeth, he speaketh mysteries. It says, but he that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification. That's important. That's key. Unto edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. Amen? That's important. So he's saying that these gifts are put in place that we might be edified by them, right? So now watch this. I'm going to drop down to verse 23 again for context, and it says what? It says, if therefore the whole church become together in one place, right? So that's giving us the context that in when we come together in the assembly of the saints, whenever we come together, not just on today, but any time that the saints are gathering together, this is the context. He said, now what is he going to say about? He's going to say something about what we ought to be doing when we come together. Because this is the point. Why are we here? So he says, I'm going to drop down to verse 26. He says, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you have a psalm, everyone has a doctrine, everyone has a tongue, everyone has a revelation, everyone has an interpretation. Here's the point. Let all things, not some things, all things that we do when we come together, any time that we come together as the body of Christ, ought to be done for the edification of who? Of who? The edification of us is edification unto men. Everything about our coming together is to build each other up. Do we think that we come in here to edify God? Are we here to build God up? How are we going to build God up? God wants us to come together for us. We lose sight of that. That gets lost in the focus. And what happens is that you see in the church, and it was the same thing back in the scriptures, we get caught up on the religiosity and forget about the humanity. You know what I mean? It's just like when the Good Samaritan. Here's the, you know, we had an example of that a couple weeks ago when somebody left Cedric right there beat half to death. And, you know, and if the Levite, the priest, the religious leaders, the religious people walk right past him. And that's what happens in the church. We get caught up on our religiosity, we forget the humanity. And we think that we're coming in the door here to please God and forget about why we're really here, and that's why God's not pleased. God is not pleased if you think you're just going to come to him and forget about everybody else, because he brought us here for us. Right? Let me take a look at something. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, let's turn over there, start at verse 23, right? And here we have an example of, let me turn it over here. This is in Jesus' mount, his sermon on the mount. And it was a long sermon. That was a long one. He said some things in there. But when we get down to around verse 23, listen to what he says. See, watch this. I'm talking about the religiosity and the humanity, right? Watch what happens here in verse 23. Look at this. He says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, right? I want us to understand something about that. When we talk about bringing the gift to the altar was in the temple where they offered sacrifices to God. This is where they worship in the temple, right? So he's saying, if you're coming to worship God, if you're coming to offer your sacrifices at the altar, and then you remember that your brother has aught against you. Wow. You know why that's so powerful to me? He's going beyond the fact of me remembering that I got something against you. You understand what I'm saying? He's saying, if I think you got something against me, I need to be, he's like, you came here to worship me. If you truly want to worship me, put that thing down first and go resolve that thing with your brother. So you tell me, what's the significance there? What's the focus on? Is the focus on the religiosity or the humanity? He's talking about leave that gift at the altar. Leave that there. That's not what's important. What's important is your brother, your sister. And it's not even that I got, not just if I got something against you. You know what I'm saying, Brother DeShields? Even if I think you got something against me, I should be coming to you trying to figure out, wow, brother, I mean, what did I do to offend you? I mean, what can I do to make it right? Because it's never my intention to, you know, have this kind of beef between us. If I offended you, let me tell y'all something. And I think I said before, maybe a few weeks ago, when I was up here doing scripture reading and prayer, I said, the scripture tells us that it's easy to love those that love you. Then he said, you don't get no credit for that. That part is easy. If you really need to have some credit, then you need to have that love for those who don't love you. That's the challenge. He said, now you got a reward in that, because that's the challenge. It's easy for me, Graham, Derek, what's up, my brother, love you. You know what I mean, to Barbie, but those ones that's challenging. And then I also, here's another part of that. One that's challenging, I don't make it about the person. You know what I mean? I make it about me. What is it about me that's making it hard for me to love you? You know, I see, because I want to blame you. It's your fault I don't love you. You know, like a guy who abuses his wife, and he'll say, it's her fault. If she'd just be quiet, I wouldn't hit her. Then it's no accountability on your part for your actions. It's somebody else's fault. And that's what we like to do. We like to excuse ourselves and blame other people for why we don't act the way God wants us to act. You know what I mean? It's not you. The Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against spiritual wickedness. I'm the one. We as human beings, our human condition makes it harder for us to get along with one another because we're selfish. And we want to look at everything about how it affects me, as opposed to looking at how my actions affect other people. See, look at that perspective that Jesus just came from. He said, he didn't even talk about who you think you, he's talking about who you think, who might be offended by you. But see, most of the people want to look at him and say, well, who would be offended by me? I'm such a good person. I don't get on anybody's nerves. And I said to y'all before when I was talking about loving them that may not love you and how it's a challenge, and I said I would use myself, but some of y'all might say, yeah, it's a challenge loving you, Brother Mark. And then my feelings would be hurt. I'd be like, that's how y'all feel for real? But that's the point. I mean, it's easy to love them that love you. So when we come here, I can't come here acting like thinking, yeah, God, I'm here for you, and forget y'all. Because then God is telling me then you need to go back out the door and come back in again, because you're here for the wrong reason, right? So he says that leave your gift at the altar. Go thy way first, and be reconciled to thy brother. Amen? See, this is why we're here. In fact, over in Romans 5, verse 8, he talks about how God commended his love towards us while we were yet sinners. See, he didn't wait for you to clean yourself up and, you know, get yourself together and then come on in and now I love you. He loved you while you was dirty and filthy and covered in all kinds of sins. And then, but we come in here and don't have that same type of love for one another. We more worried about how we sing. Did I sing right? Did I take the communion right? Did I put money in the collection right? Did I show up on the first day right? You know, we was just downstairs talking in the Bible study, and I was gave a perfect example of what I was talking about. I said, that ties right into what I'm going to talk about this morning. But somebody texted my brother, and they asked a question. Well, they posted something, and they asked a question. Listen to the question, Kamal. They said, is it biblically permissible for you to miss service if you're sick? And if so, how sick do you need to be in order for it not to be a sin? And I just was like, oh, my God. I'm like, oh, my God. Do we see what I'm talking about? See what I'm saying? we have faith, right? Our faith is the things that saves us. So this is what the devil do. He might not stop you from being able to have faith. So what he does is he tries to misdirect your faith. So he tries, where the faith should be on y'all, he tries to make you think the faith is about this. And then the next thing you know, your faith is somewhere shipwrecked, crashed. Like the Bible says, your faith crashed out somewhere as opposed to where it's supposed to be. That's what he tried to do. He tried to get you, misdirect your faith and have you trusting in things that have no profit in it. What difference do it make? That ain't nothing on the table going to save me. Somebody asked me, say, oh, so you believe in multiple cups. I'm like, I don't believe in cups at all. Cups have nothing to do with my faith. So you can do this any way you want. And I'm like, wow, we just missed the whole point of why we're here. Right? So he loved us in this, and if we think that God loved us while we were dirty, filthy, and covered in sin, and he extended grace and mercy to us, when we come to, don't we think that if God loved you, Kamal, right, that should affect how I feel about you. You understand what I'm saying? If I love God, then I need to love the people that God loves. How can I say I love God and not love y'all? The Bible says if I believe that, I'm lying to myself. Amen? So we got to remember why we're here. I'm not going to keep it long today because we're also having a baptism right after service. And then plus some of us are going over to another congregation for the Fifth Sunday Fellowship. So I just want to hit on some points to try to drive it home and just go straight to it, right? Now, I said, this is why we're here, right? So we're here to focus on one another. And God said, listen, leave your gift there. Go resolve that thing first, right? So now I'm thinking about when Jesus said to his disciples, I am the way. I'm the way. I'm the truth, the light. I'm the road. I'm the path. To you want to have a relationship with God? I'm going to show you how to have a relationship with God. I'm going to show you. Just follow me. Just like Paul said, what? Follow me as I follow Christ. So Christ is showing me how to have a relationship with the Father. And in Christ is showing me how to have a relationship with the Father, what is he doing? As he's going along, he's doing what? He's feeding people. He's healing people. He's encouraging people. He's giving people faith. This is what he's saying. This is what's pleasing to God. If you want to have a relationship with God, I'm showing you how to have a relationship with him. And then the apostles come along and tell us the same thing about how we ought to be loving one another. Right? Now listen, if God put these people in front of me, in front of him, right? Like God is here and he put a whole sea of people in front of you and said, now, if you want to get to me, you got to come through them. Just like Jesus said, you got to come through him to get to the Father, right? Now, when I look at this whole sea of people that God wants me to come through, I'm like, wow, what am I going to need to get through this sea of people to get to God or to have this relationship with him in the manner that he wants me to have it? I'm like, first of all, for me to get there, I'm going to have to take off some stuff because there's some things that I got that's holding me back. There's some things that I have that's causing me to, it's challenging me to get through there. That's why I said it ain't the person. It ain't the person. It's me. What's stopping me? So I got to take off anger, malice, jealousy, envy. I got to take off all these things. They holding me back from getting through these people. Now, if I want to get through these people, I'm going to have to, what do I need to get there? I'm going to need some long-suffering. I start packing my bag up. Lord, I'm going to need a little long-suffering. Oh, definitely with Cedric. I'm going to need some forbearance. You got that? You feel me, right, Cedric? I'm going to need some long-suffering, some forbearance. I'm going to need some grace. Yeah, I'm going to need some of that. I'm going to need some mercy. I'm going to need all these things in order for me to get through these people. And now once I got there, God is like, well done, my faithful servant. You are good. Listen, he told in John, the 21st chapter, right? Let's turn over there. We got time. You got your Bible with you. John, the 21st chapter. Listen to this. See, these things are consistent. I don't even know. I mean, it's interesting to me how we lose focus because the scriptures are clear. They're clear. I mean, he says, listen, what didn't we just read the scripture that says, when we come together, let all things be done unto edification. And we all understand that we're not here building God up. So God says, I want y'all to come together and build each other up. Don't lose sight of that, right? So in the 21st chapter, listen to what Jesus is saying over here. I love this. He says, And verse 15, I'm going to start. He says, so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than the other ones do? He said to him, yea, Lord, you know that. He said, you know that I love you. And Jesus said unto him, what? If you love me, do what? Feed my lambs. Who are you talking about? Us, right? He's telling Peter, if you love me, the manifestation of that love should be shown in how you love my people. I want you to tend to them. Don't come to me talking about, hey, look, Lord, I offered this sacrifice. I did this and that. Did you care about your brother? You know, you can't just knock people down while you're trying to go to God. I'm trying to get to God. Excuse me, George, get out my way. Look out. Walter, you're in my way. Sister so-and-so, look out. You're in my way of me trying to get to God. We can't do that. And then you go get to God talking about, I'm here. And it's a whole bunch of people you done knocked down to get there. And thank God happy that you're here. You know what I mean? Send your brother to the store. Kamal, you and your brother go to the store. Watch out, there's some bad guys out there. Y'all look out for each other. Kamal, come back home. Where your brother at? Oh, these guys started chasing us. I left them. Then why are you here? You better go back and get him. You left him. We can't leave our brothers. We can't leave our sisters. That's not why we're here. We're here for one another. And if we come here with that focus and that understanding, oh, man, we could be so much powerful in what we're doing. See, we got congregations of the body of Christ separated from one another over religiosity, over traditions, over practices. Jesus told, come on, when I said these things are real clear in the scriptures, he just told you, leave your gift at the altar, right? Here's another one. They came to Jesus talking about, hey, Jesus, how come your disciples are picking corn on the Sabbath day? You know they ain't supposed to do that. It's a law. Jesus said, look, and when I think about that, Derek, every time I think about that, I in my mind, Jesus is shaking his head. He's like, they come to Jesus, your disciples picking corn. Oh, Lord. That's the same thing as is it permissible to miss service because you're sick. It's shaking his head. Jesus said, y'all supposed to know this. You the Pharisees. You don't know the law. How it says how it was written that David and his men, when they was hungry, they ate the showbread. That was unlawful for them to eat. It was only for the priests. He said, have y'all read that? Because if you really comprehended that, what you would understand is that, he said, man was not created so he could keep these traditions. The traditions was created for the benefit of man. You put the tradition before the man. So in order for you to keep the man, you'd rather let them starve and be hungry and die. You missed the whole point. Understand what I'm saying? So if we make issues about what we do when we come here, about, or even if we're more focused on I'm here, so you know, because that's another thing that creates too. It creates a mindset of it's almost robotic. You just show up here like, yeah, I checked off the list, I did what I was supposed to do, and go ahead home, and it just becomes a routine thing, mundane. Not me. I'm happy to be here. I'm looking forward to me. Most of the things, I learned a lot in service from some of the sermons, but most of what I learned is asking these brothers and sitting down and talking to them and calling them after. So I'm like, you know, you sit in service. I didn't understand that. And we talk and we sit down. That's how I got most of the understanding. Most of the times, for me, since I've been in the church, the most rewarding thing to me, the thing I look forward to most is the fellowship. That's what I look forward to. I look forward to seeing my brothers and sisters and spending time with y'all. All the other stuff that we do is good, but that my focus ain't on those things. My focus is on, I told Reg, I said, man, Reg, Friday night, the other night, I said, Reg, I'm ironing my shirt for service. And I said, man, it's only Friday. I'm so anxious to get here. I'm like, wait a minute. It ain't no service tomorrow. I'm ironing on Friday getting ready to be here. But I look forward to being here. You know, nobody has... Brother, if Brother King was here, he'd tell you, he said, nobody had to twist Brother Mark's arm to be at service because when they got there, I was already there. I was the first one there, and I'd be the last one to leave because I enjoy service. I enjoy being with my brothers and sisters. It's not a chore to me, right? So Jesus doesn't want it to be one either. He said, don't get caught. He's like, You're worrying about the Sabbath, and you're worrying about putting your gift at the altar. I want you to worry about your brother. Worry about your sister. Does the scripture not tell us that how can you love God, who you haven't seen, and not love your brother, who you do see? So you're going to run through all these people in front of you trying to get to God. God said, no, that's not the case. That's not the way it ought to be. So he told him, feed my sheep. Asked him again, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Again, feed my sheep. A third time. And now I don't even know what Peter might be thinking at this point, but the Bible says he was grieved, you know. Jesus asked him for a third time, Lord. He said, Lord, you know I love you. You know all things. Why are you asking me this? You don't believe me? You know all these things. And he says what? Feed my sheep. Feed them, take care of them, tend to them, nourish them, give them the things that they need for their growth. Care about them holistically. Care about their physical health, about their mental, their emotional, and their spiritual health. Give them the things that provide them with that they need. This is how you're showing you. He says, what? If you love me, do this. Right? So if you love God, this is what he wants you to be doing. Jesus is showing us the way. Right? And then Paul comes along and he says, now I'm following after Christ. And he's showing the same thing, talking about loving one another. Let all things be done for our edification, building each other up. He's talking about how the body of Christ is strengthened and built up by that which each part supplies. Amen? Now, you know, when we talk about loving somebody, we want to, in order to love somebody, you got to know, if I want to please you, put it that way, then I have to know what's pleasing to you, right? I had a guy talking about, well, he took his wife some flowers or whatever, and he didn't get the response that he wanted. And so he figured, like, so he got to figure something else out. And I'm trying to tell him, I'm saying, well, if you was looking for a certain response from her, then you have to know her to know what to do to get that response. Amen? Some women like flowers. Some women don't like flowers. You know what I mean? Some women like chocolate. Some women don't like chocolate. And, you know, when I was thinking about that, I was cracking up to myself. I had to laugh, right? Because I'm like, it's like a husband. I don't know, is there any wives in here that if your husband came to you on your anniversary day talking about, look, Sherry, look what I got you. I got you a Black & Decker power drill. And you're like, oh, baby, that's just what I wanted, right? You know, or some your wife come to you, a husband, talking about, hey, look, baby, I got you these something girly, you know, some furry slippers or something. I'm a grown man. What I look like walking around in some furry slippers, right? And what am I supposed to say? Oh, babe, that's what I always wanted, some furry slippers. I would say thank you. I appreciate the thought. But you ain't really going to get that reaction out of me because I'm not that thrilled about getting some furry slippers. Now, if you really wanted to get that reaction out of me, you're supposed to know what you're like, I know he's going to love this. Just like I'm supposed to say, I know she's going to love this. She's going to go crazy over this. Right? Even if she's mad at me, she'll start speaking to me again when I do this, right? You know what I mean? She's speaking to me now, right? This is what I'm saying about God. If we want to please God, we have to know what is pleasing to God and give him what he wants. And he's telling us what I want. He's like, listen, I'm God. You can't give me anything. I'm the source of everything. I created everything. How are you going to give God? Only thing we can do is thank God and praise him for what he's done for us. He says, what I want from you is to care for one another, right? And even the things that he's put in place, we come here and we do these things. These are really just for us to come together. It's a reason. Just like when some of us got together a couple days ago with family and friends and shared a meal, right? Was it really about the meal? The meals was just a means for you to come together, right? And now that we have this reason to come together and we enjoy ourselves, we have fun, we have fellowship with your family, and you see some that you haven't seen in a while. Some you only see once a year, right? Us, we see each other every week. Most of us, Jen, I'm sorry. Even when you're not here, you're here. You're here, Jen. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that everything about this should be about us. Don't get caught up. We start arguing and fighting about, are you doing this right? Did we get that right? We can't mess with that congregation over there because they're using pianos and we can't do this over here because they only got one cup when they take the communion. And all these things that have nothing to do, and you think you pleasing God. And you come to God, look, talking about, listen, you know what? I'm going to give y'all another one. Here you go. Shut up. Shut up. See, you made me. See, you made me lose my thought. What was I getting ready to say? We think we pleasing God, man. I'm like, we come together talking about, look, Lord, look what I did. Oh, I knew what I was going to say. The Bible says, and where is that at? That's in Matthew 7, where he says, see, a whole lot of people are saying, this, and let me say this. This is one of the things that I talked to the Bible class about. I'm like, the theme is this. I said, listen, what does the Bible define as a believer? I'm like, because when I'm looking what a believer looks like, I need to be lining up with what the Bible calls a believer, not with what we call believers. Because some people will say, like, if you think you okay, because if you missed service and you wasn't sick enough, you're not a believer. You know what I mean? If you didn't show up during the pandemic because you're not a believer, then that just tells me that your faith is misplaced, right? So he tells us, so I look into the scripture so we can see what does a believer look like? What is faith? Where should my faith really be, right? And then so it's like Matthew 7. He said, not everybody to say, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom. Right? And here's the part, right? Because he says, some of them are going to say, now listen to the things they said. They said, we preached in your name. Is that a bad thing? That's a great thing. We should be preaching in his name, right? It says that they cast out demons, and we know that they can only cast these demons out by the power of the Holy Spirit, right? And they said they did many wonderful works. And Jesus said, I never knew you. I don't know you. See, they thought that because they did these things, that was making them right with God, that they had a relationship with God because they did this and that. Jesus said, I don't know you. Now, we know contextually, we know Jesus knew him, that he knew him. He knew everything about him. So when he says he don't know him, what context is he making that statement? He's saying, you and I don't have a relationship like that. See, you thinking this is the basis of us having a relationship. And you forgot about your brothers and sisters, which really is what adds you into a relationship with me. See, you can't come to me without having a relationship with them. Do we get them? See, he's telling us, this is what's pleasing us. James said, a man may say that he has faith, right? And don't have no works. There's no evidence of him believing what he says he believes. He says, but I'm going to show you what I believe. You're going to see what I believe in action. And look at the things that he said you're going to see. What is he talking about? He said, when you see your brother have need, when he was hungry, he's like, if your brother didn't have the world's need, if you got the things that you can help your brother and you see that he have need and you say, oh man, well, I'm going to pray for you. Be warm, be filled, and don't give him the things you need. He's like, what good is your faith? How does your faith benefit anybody else except you? That's not serving God. That's not pleasing to him. That's not why we're here. Amen. Are we here to look at just ourselves and think we're pleasing God and look at and not? See, when I ask you how you doing, how you feeling, it's coming from a place that's real. I really mean that. That's sincere. You know, and I remember when we was at First State, and I could wear the mask. I was going through some things and I was troubled, right? But nobody knew it because I come in with the big smile on my face like I always do. Hey, what's up, George? How you doing? But like Brother King, who knows me, and we have that kind of relationship, when he asked me, he said, hey, Mark, and it was just like he normally asked me. He said, hey, Mark, how you doing? You all right? I couldn't hide. The mask came off, and tears just started running down my face. And I'm saying that's how it ought to be with us. We ought to have that kind of relationship that we can confide in one another. All of us need somebody that we can talk to, somebody that we can take that mask off. You know what I mean? Because it's easy to walk around and act like we all right when we're not all right. You know what I mean? Because I'm not always all right. Trust me. You know what I mean? And I might act like I'm all right on many occasions, but we're here. And that's why I promote fellowship so much, because I think that the more that we broaden our support group, and expand our network, the better we are, the better off we are. you know, that we got brothers and sisters. I know Sister Tony this morning, you know, brother came in. Tony said, I know you. She said, you. And she said, you're a minister from such and such. And we went back in our memories to like 63rd and Vine and some of the people that we knew. And this is because we used to get out in fellowship all the time. I know Mona said to me, she said, you know everybody. And I said, when I was coming up in the church, we was fellowshipping everywhere. It's like almost not a congregation anywhere in the region that if I go to, I don't know somebody there. You know, I was preaching one time at a congregation I'd never been to before. I get there, I'm up here preaching, and in the middle of me preaching, a brother I knew, hadn't seen in years, walked in the door. I stopped in the middle of my sermon. I'm like, bruh, is that you? I said, oh, man, I ain't seen this brother in years. You know what I mean? Shut up, Reg. But I'm saying that's what it's about. It's about not losing focus on why we're here. And the things that we do when we come here, nothing wrong with doing those things. I'm here every week doing those things. So I'm not taking shots at the things, and I'm not taking shots at any of the brothers who might have the furry slippers. I don't like the furry slippers. I don't want anybody to think I'm taking shots at them. Say, what you talking about, Mark? I like these furry slippers my wife brought me. God bless you and your furry slippers. I'm a grown man. If my woman wanted to please me, don't bring me no furry slippers. All right? You know what I mean? And if I brought you something that wasn't pleasing to you, please let me know. Because I want to give you what you desire. Amen? I'm going to leave y'all with this story. Taylor, I messed with Taylor because I'll be telling a story and Taylor be like, oh, yeah, I heard this story. Yeah, this is the story of my man. I'm like, go ahead, Taylor. She always messes with my story. She said, but they be good stories, Brother Mark. I said, thank you. All right, I'm going to leave y'all with this one. And I think it really kind of just illustrates the point. And I remember when I was about in second grade, we had a fire at our home. And we had to go stay with my aunt of mine for a while, right? And me and this aunt, boy, we was real close, man. She was like, when I look into the Bible and I see what a godly woman is supposed to look like, my aunt fit that description more than any woman I ever knew in my life. I mean, she just was always about it. I mean, she's making clothes and taking them to people. She's taking food to people. I got to take this food over here to Sister So-and-so. She's sick. I got to do this. I got to go and at the church and every committee and every ministry they have, she's involved in. I'm like, she just stayed busy working for the Lord, serving God all the time. That's my aunt. We was close, boy. And so it was a girl next door. And her family was going through some problems, some issues, right? So she started spending more time with my aunt. My aunt started bringing over the house and whatnot. And I guess I felt jealous. I didn't think so then. But when I look back, I was like, oh, I must be jealous. She's cutting in on my time with my aunt. I don't like that. So I'm treating her bad. I'm like, I'm harassing her. Like, go away. You in the way. I'm trying to enjoy my aunt and you here, right? And me and my aunt, we play games and stuff all the time. And I would come down, I eat breakfast, and I'm getting ready to go to school. And I say, see you later, alligator. And she say, after a while, crocodile, you know. So this one particular morning, I did that. I said, see you later, alligator. I'm all happy on my way out to school. She says, no, I'm not playing. And I'm like, what's the matter, auntie? She's like, I don't like the way you've been treating my friend. That's what she said to me. And I love my aunt, right? So to think that how I was treating this person was going to interfere with my relationship with my aunt, I need to correct that immediately. So the same girl that I didn't care nothing about her, I'm like, I wish she would have went away, actually, right? But now because the way my aunt felt about her, it changed my whole perspective on the way I treated her. Now I started treating this girl like she was special. Now I became, from the person that was harassing her, now I'm becoming her protector. Y'all understand what I'm saying? My whole relationship with her changed because how I felt about my aunt. And this is the same thing that God is saying to us. If you love me, then love those that I love. Amen? I could say a whole lot more, but I'm going to leave it right there. And hopefully that something I said will encourage us and keep us focused, because that's the thing. I want our faith to be where it's supposed to be. Don't let your faith go all off the road and you trust it in things that have nothing to do with saving you and there's no benefit or edification to anybody else. Do we understand? Do we get it? All right. Thanks. All right. I appreciate the time. I appreciate y'all listening. And I hope something I said does help to encourage and strengthen your faith. Listen, the Bible tells us that God loved us so much. I already said he extended this love while we were yet in sin, right? So while we're in sin, he's offering us a way out of that. And so Jesus came down in the form of his own creation. I'm going to go down in the form of my creation. And when I think about that, I have to remember that, like, what it would feel like if you took a spike and drove it through my hand. I say, ouch, just thinking about it, right? And I realize, all right, because sometimes I think we think of Jesus like this superhero, and we don't think that he suffered just like I would be suffering. He felt what I would feel if you did that to me, and he did that because he loved us. And the Bible says that whosoever believed in him and had faith in him and was immersed for the remission of your sins, then you could be part of this body. You could be in Christ. You could have everlasting life and not die in that dirty and filthy state. God's grace and his love is so much. He's like, I love you so much, Jen, I'm going to die for you. I'm going to come down here and suffer and be tortured for you. That's how much I love you. He says, and all I ask you to do is, look, is I'm going to die for you. I want you to live for me. Love those that I live. He says, so he's offering us. He says, come. He's pleading with us. Come away from that. Why would you die in your sins? Come, I'm offering you the opportunity to spend an eternity with me and to be a part of a body, a part of a body of Christ that's universal all over the world. We are part of a body of Christ. That's a beautiful thing, man. That's like, so I can go anywhere that's the body of Christ and I feel like I'm among family. Amen? And that's the way it should be. No matter where we go, we should feel like family. We're going over to visit some more family today over at the Fifth Sunday Fellowship. We're going to go see some family. Some of us are going to see people we never saw before. Some of us will see some old friends and family. Amen? So if you've heard this gospel of how Jesus came and suffered and was tortured out of his love for us, because God loved us so much, and you believed it, and you believed that Jesus is his son, that God loved us and sent his son to die for us, and if we believed in him, we could have everlasting life, then the next question would be, you know, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, and be added to the body of Christ. And be part of this fellowship and be part of this humanity that we put first, not last. Amen? All right, so if that be the case, we're going to stand and we sing a song of invitation and invite anybody who desires to be baptized and added to the family. This would be the time that we would ask you to come forth and do so. And also would want to remind one another that the Bible instructs us that we pray one for another. So we, at this time, we ain't going to ask everybody in the congregation to come up and let us know you need prayer, but I would always remind us to pray for each other at all times. Amen? And if there's anybody that feel like they need prayer for specific things, you can let us know individually, and you can let Dawn know. She'll put it in the bulletin so we all can pray for one another. Amen? Amen. Thank y'all for the time. Thanks for listening. Let us sing. No, we're just going to start the sermon then. That was just a warm-up. All right. Let us sing. When the Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will hear. When the Savior calls, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my name, just for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. And if my robe is white, when he calls me, and if my robe is white, I will here. And if my robe is white, when he calls,